Today's scripture comes from Romans 8, verses 28 through 39 from the Common English Version of the Bible. We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. We know this because God knew them in advance, and he decided in advance they would be conformed to the image of his Son. That way his Son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. Those who God decided in advance would be conformed to his Son, he also called. Those whom he called, he also made righteous. Those whom he made righteous, he also glorified. So what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also freely give us all things with him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised and who is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good. Sorry about the slides, but I had a technical glitch back there, but we're good. Faith comes by hearing, right? Not by seeing. That's what the Bible says. For those of you that have not been with us these past many weeks, we are on the fourth week of our series called Why, trying to make sense of God's will. Over the past 3 weeks, we have talked about why is there suffering in the world. And you'll recall that we learned that suffering in the world comes from basically three things. Natural disasters happen and people get in the way of things like natural things like earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes. We learn that people make choices, don't they? Sometimes not so smart choices, not so wise. And other people make choices that affect us. And so people suffer as a result of bad decisions. And then, of course, we learn that suffering comes from the fact that we live in a world that is full of disease. It is full of illness and things that affect all of us eventually. Sickness is a part of life. And then the second week, we talked about why our prayers are not answered. And we learned that, yes, indeed, God does hear all our prayers. And sometimes God does answer those prayers. But other times, our prayers go unanswered. And we don't understand why those things are not answered the way we think they should. But God has our best interest in heart, and God wants us to have the very, very best. And so God tries to show us the right way and show us that unanswered prayer can also be a blessing. You'll recall the picture of Hector Peterson, the little 12-year-old child who was shot in South Africa, which his death led to the end of apartheid. And his mother's prayer was that he be safe every day that he went to school. And so that prayer went unanswered and was the beginning of the end of apartheid. And then last week we talked about why can't we always know God's will? Why can't we always know God's will? We know that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, ever-present, but that God does not predetermine every choice and every decision that we make. We are not living according to some script that God has foreordained and that we have to live it out, you know, perfectly. But that instead we are invited to collaborate with God in the writing of our story. That God has given us a roadmap. God has given us a prescription, if you will. For example, the Ten Commandments, to try to guide our decision making. And it's how we make our decisions and not what decisions we make. And so that becomes part of knowing God's will by trying to follow the prescription and the guide, the great commandment, the golden rule as best we can. But today we're going to wrap up this series by talking about why God wins in the end. the last why question. Why God's love will prevail in spite of all these things that we have talked about over the last 4 weeks. God wins because God is with us. That's the first thing we need to realize, is that God wins because God is with us. Fear is one of the most debilitating emotions that most, if not all of us, incur at one time or another. Fear is part of the human condition. We fear getting sick. We fear getting injured. We fear rejection. We fear many different things. Some people fear speaking in public, which is one of the greatest fears. But more seriously, there are things like being alone. Many people fear dying alone. And so those things weigh heavily on us. I have to confess that I had a fear over the last couple of years, and it's something that Pat and I have been talking about for some time, but it became very apparent to us as we move on down the road age-wise. My fear was that as a United Methodist pastor, we are provided a parsonage or a housing allowance by the church that we serve, and that's been the way it's been, you know, forever. But my thought was, if something were to happen to me, what happens to Pat? My fear was making sure that she was provided for and cared for with a place to live. And so we began, in the height of the housing crisis and the 2008-2009 period, to start looking for a home. But the biggest question is, where were we going to live? What community were we going to be a part of? So we chose this area, in the Milton area. And so we started working with our real estate agent. We found a place and started planning for the future. And we felt that this was the time to make that decision. And so my fears have been relieved, and that if something were to happen to me, Pat would have a place to live and to stay. And so that's the kind of fears that we deal with. Faith in God is the Christian's response to fear. Faith in God is the Christian response. And all throughout the Scriptures, we have affirmations of all of this, that God is with us and gives us the peace that passes all understanding, that replaces the fear. And this is, of course, by faith. We have to believe that God is with us. Throughout Scripture, and I have to go to the Old Testament, to Joshua, God said, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord thy God is with you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. The Lord your God is with you." God wins because God is with us always and in every circumstance and every situation. In the familiar words of Psalm 23, we hear David write, "For you are with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." God was with David and is with David. And then he writes a little later in Psalm 56, "When I am afraid," and we talked about the children being afraid in the boat, the disciples being afraid. "When we are afraid, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you," David writes. God wins because we know peace comes from knowing that we are not alone. Amen? Amen. God wins because God uses us to help do his will. God has, you've heard me say many, many times, Jesus, God has no hands but our hands. Sometimes God calls us to help others, to be the answer to someone's prayer. The problem is that we're not always aware of what's going on around us. Those encounters, those circumstances and situations where we are so busy running around doing our thing that maybe we forget to notice that, oh, maybe that was an opportunity to be Jesus to someone. Maybe that was an opportunity to help someone. And of course, that can happen to other people to help you somewhere along the way. The key, though, is paying attention to the surroundings and circumstances. God is working through our lives to care for the other and for others to care for us. We can't always see God's mysterious ways. God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts, the Scripture tells us. But God uses us. But we have to make ourselves available to God to be have our antenna, our radar, whatnot on at all times to listen for those signals, to watch for those signals. And God wins because of that. Because we are the people of God, and we are the people that God has called us to be, His hands and feet. God wins because God, now hold on here now, listen carefully. God uses evil and suffering to serve God's purposes. God uses evil and suffering to serve God's purposes. Suffering, evil, violence, destruction, it's been a part of creation from the very beginning. I mean, even the universe was created with a what? A big bang. And as the earth took form, and as the natural forces from within the earth heaved up volcanoes and heaved up mountains from the shifting tectonic plates, and as the winds and the water carved out beautiful ditches like the Grand Canyon, God takes that violence, takes all that movement, takes all that seemingly destructive stuff and makes something beautiful, does He not? That's what the Grand Canyon is a big ditch. Water running across land, carving it out over hundreds of thousands of years, perhaps millions. Take the recession of 2008, from which we are still feeling the effects of. I don't know about you, but I am. The economic collapse. What caused that? It was called overconsumption by human beings, like myself, like you all. It was because of greed of people like Bernie Madoff and many others with Ponzi schemes. That was human doing, not God's doing. But what good has come out of that? I don't know about you, but I've had to trim back my spending. I don't know about you, but we've had to make changes in our lifestyle. I don't know about you, but, you know, people have been changed and been drastically affected by all of this, haven't they?